This is Central Time. Saturday the 30th is Small Business Saturday, and this year the independent bookstore near you may have something different going on.
The challenges facing independent bookstores have been in the news the last several years, and last year even Borders, a mainstay on the national bookselling scene, went under.
This Saturday, writer Sherman Alexie is doing his part to help. Alexie is ushering in the first ever Indies First Day, where some 1,000-plus authors will hand-sell books in about 500 independent bookstores around the country.
Sherman Alexie joins us now. He's a poet, a writer, and filmmaker. Two of his most recent books include The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian and Blasphemy. He's the founder of Indies First Day. Sherman, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you.
Well, tell us about Indies First. Where'd the idea come from?
Well, it came from an appearance, a missed appearance at a bookstore here in Seattle in the spring. It was a reopening of a store that had closed, and I had agreed to be there on opening day and then completely spaced it off. So to atone for that, Janice Segris, one of the co-owners, said, "What, you have to come all day." And I went there and spent hours there, and we realized I was being a bookseller. And I thought, author as bookseller, I think this could get bigger.
That's kind of radical. So I take it what you're doing is taking that idea, author as bookseller, and writing at large. This is what's happening across the country.
Yeah, and well, it points out the really special relationship between writers and independent bookstores, and especially between eccentric writers and eccentric bookstores. You know, my career is because of independent bookstores. You know, 20 years ago when I wrote my first books, you know, a book of poems and stories by a reservation Indian boy was not going to fit anybody's algorithm. I have a career because independent booksellers hand sold my book. They put my book in the hands of readers they thought would love it.
What does it exactly mean when you talk about hand selling? What does that translate to?
When a bookseller knows his or her customers, they know who they are. They know their tastes. They know what they love. And so they can find books they know they're probably going to love, but they can also find books they think are going to be new and challenging to them. And so I think that's really what happens for writers like I am, and writers like me, who be a surprise choice, a choice that is not going to fit or is going to be surprising, adding that human element to it.
Do you remember any stories from that first day on your Day of Atonement at your local indie bookstore when you were hand-selling? What surprised you about it?
What surprised me is how many books I could pull off the top of my head. I guess how good I was at it. I hadn't thought about it, but somebody would come in and say, "Well, I like this book. What other book should I read?" And then to be in the store looking and searching for the books they might love, books popped into my head immediately, and I was surprised by the speed of that.
There's been kind of a bibliotherapy movement going on lately. I don't know if you've heard about this, where people think that, you know, you can use books as therapy. And do you think that this is a way to do it? Like, you almost prescribe a book instead of letting the bestseller list do it?
You know, I think books have helped me in all sorts of amazing ways. So I imagine that you could find the book that would help somebody in a difficult time or to help mark a moment, yes.
You know, we hear a lot about the challenges of indie bookstores these days. Even Borders went down last year. Do you think this Indies First Day comes at kind of a crucial time for booksellers?
Well, actually, you know, independent booksellers have had a great year and a half, 2 years. And this year, in fact, I just learned that hardcover sales of actual books outpaced ebook sales.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Right now, there's a bit of a lull in ebook sales. Nobody's quite sure what that means.
Okay, so how do you feel about the ebook? You know, there's that debate that's been going on, this cultural conversation about whether there's something special or almost sacred about holding a paper book in your hand that you can smell and feel versus the ebook. Where do you come down on that?
Well, for me, the aesthetics are one thing. I mean, I just love the physical nature of a book and the interpersonal relationships inside a bookstore. But the big thing for me is that the ebook world is dominated by one company, Amazon. It has a near monopoly, and that's dangerous not only for authors and bookstores, it's dangerous for the world of ideas when one company can be in charge of who gets what.
So you're not against the ebook, you just don't want one person holding all the keys.
I'm against the libertarian monopoly of Amazon.
What do you think? You mentioned independent bookstores are doing pretty well, thank you, the last year and a half. What are they doing, you know, to compete then?
Well, you know, they're diversifying, I think, a little bit in terms of what they're offering. I think they've got more, they're selling more than books. They're bringing in coffee shops and restaurants. And actually, I think there's something more philosophical going on, something a little more interpersonal. I think in this digital age, I think people are longing for connection. And I think that's happening across the board, that people are turning more and more back toward old-fashioned means of commerce.
And that's what's going to happen on Indy's first day. Now, you've got, what is it, like 500 bookstores across the country doing this, 1,000-plus authors. How do people respond when you first hung your hat out there?
Some big names, too. James Patterson, Dave Barry, Lily Tuck, Cheryl Strayed, you know, some T.C. Boyle. A lot of mystery writers, a lot of kids' book writers. It's going to be astonishing. Some stores have 15 writers. So,
wow.
You know, there's going to be some circuses out there, and then there's going to be some really quiet moments, too, where one writer is going to be in a store for all day, which I think is going to be really special for that writer, and I'm kind of jealous of that.
I've been tracking this idea for a while, and I've been curious about how it would work, actually, because when I think about the stereotypical writer, and maybe there's my problem right there, but I think about someone who's probably an introvert, somebody who likes, you know, sitting down with their computer or their notepad and not being in the public eye. Do you think it's going to be weird for some writers to be in there, you know, selling books?
I'm guessing the introverts did not volunteer.
Yeah. And you're not one of these.
Well, you know... I take those tests, those personality tests, and I actually come off as an introvert and extrovert at the same time.
Do you think that authors do need to get in there, even if they're introverted, and join the battle to help fight for books and booksellers?
That's the thing. You know, we're competing against so much now, so many images, so many ways of getting books, so many other means of art and commerce that you really have to get out there. And tell your stories in person and be dynamic. You know, we writers all along, you know, long before this digital explosion, were also salespeople. I mean, I spend a lot of time on the road. I'm Willie Loman half my career.
Well, we're talking right now to Sherman Alexie, poet, writer, and filmmaker. His most recent book is called Blasphemy, and he's here to talk with us about Indy's First Day. It's an inaugural Indy's First Day coming up November 30th, Small Business Saturday, where authors around the country will be hand-selling books in independent bookstores.
And we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite independent bookstore? Do you have a relationship with your bookseller that Sherman Alexie was talking about? Is it important to know your dealer when it comes to books? And where do you fall on the ebook versus physical book debate? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Right now we're talking to Sherman Alexie. He's a poet, a filmmaker, and the author of lots of books, including Lone Ranger and Tonto, Fistfight in Heaven, and Blasphemy. And Sherman's here with us to talk about the launch of Indy's First Day, where authors hand sell books at independent bookstores across the country. It was his baby, his brainchild.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you have a favorite independent bookstore near you?
And let's go to the phones right now. We've got Dexter with us in Chippewa Falls. Hey, Dexter.
Hey, great topic. Thank you so much for covering the issue of independent bookstores. I've got two questions. First is very simple. Where can we find out more information about which independent bookstores in our area are taking part in this event and maybe which authors are going to be there? And then the second question, just about independent bookstores as a whole, how do they differ business-wise and how do we know what really is an independent bookstore these days? In my neck of the woods, we have Barnes & Noble, and I feel bad to admit that really is the only bookstore that I know of.
All right, couple good questions. Sherman.
Well, if you go to the IndieBound website, just look up IndieBound. It's bookweb.org. If you go on there, you'll be able to go in there, and then you can put in your zip code, and then it'll point out the stores that are in your area. And then if you also put in the search engine Indies First, you can go to a map that'll show you every store that's participating and every author that's going to be at those stores. So that's IndieBound is the American Booksellers Association's website.
IndieBound. Okay, what about how do you know what an independent bookstore is?
Pretty much, there's Barnes & Noble, and then there's everybody else.
That's what it is these days, right?
Yeah, if it's except not a Barnes & Noble, it's an independent bookstore.
And is there, and you're calling it indies first, you're not calling it only indies. You're not telling people not to buy books at Barnes & Noble, right?
No, of course not. You know, we all have many retailers that we participate in, but this is a special focus on this particular kind of store. You know, these independent bookstores are cultural centers for their communities often. You know, it's not just about books. It's about the world of ideas. It's about kids' books. It's about story time. It's about bringing in authors and intellectuals and political thinkers. So, you know, these are community centers as well as being independent bookstores.
And let's go next to Kathleen joining us in Madison. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi, what do you think?
My comment was about e-books versus books, whatever. And I get a lot more reading done if I can use a variety of ways to read. I spend a lot of time in the car, so I do books on CD. I watch my grandson's hockey practice, and I use the playaways because I can listen and I can watch what's going on. And I like e-books for when I travel because I don't have to pack a suitcase full of books or a car full of books. But I still like to curl up with a good old, you know, regular book.
So options. The options are working for Kathleen. Do you think
Kathleen is every writer's favorite kind of reader? The thing to remember too is that through Kobo, you can buy eBooks from independent bookstores as well. You can also do that if you go onto the American Bookseller Association website, the Book Web. You will see how you can purchase eBooks from your local independent bookseller as well.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Kathleen. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Are you attached to your local indie bookseller? And do you like the idea of having an author there, you know, giving you a specially selected book just for you? 1-800-642-1234. And we go next to Caleb in Richland Center. Hey, Caleb.
Hi. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
My question is, what do you think that the effect of audiobooks is going to have on reading or with physical books or reading in general?
Well, audiobooks have been around for a long time, and you know, I don't know the numbers, but I think they stay pretty consistent in terms of how many people are listening to books. So I don't think that has a large part in changing the nature of physical books or ebooks. There are some amazing audiobooks out there. I'm really excited. They just have a new one of Tim O'Brien, who writes about the Vietnam War, a book of short stories called The Things They Carried, that's read by Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad fame.
Wow.
Who played Walt. I can't even imagine how good that is.
So lots of, again, we're back to the options again there. And thank you for that call. And you were mentioning about the personal nature of independent bookstores. It made me think of Ann Patchett. I think I'm right. She opened an independent bookstore in her hometown. Do you think that's something, you know, more authors need to do is share that passion and make it personal?
You know, it would be great for authors to have very specific personal relationships with bookstores. And, you know, that's an idea that I'm actually thinking about in terms of promoting the idea of writers sort of being auxiliary members of a bookstore, not necessarily the owners themselves. Although, gosh, if you sell enough books like Anne and you want to, you know, open a bookstore, I think that's awesome, too. And they have a great bookstore there in Nashville.
So maybe you're thinking of a model where an author kind of is an attaché, a mentor to a bookstore.
An affiliate. There's
affiliate, something like
the
that.
The author affiliate.
And you know, one thing I'm curious about what you think, you know, is about the worry over shrinking attention spans. We've seen these articles, at least I've seen a few of them in magazines, about people worrying that in our digital age, we are developing these teeny tiny attention spans and we don't have it in us to sit down and read a really long, dense novel with lots of plot lines and characters and all of the work that comes with really deep reading. Do you see that as something you're worried about?
You know, I don't know. You know, I just saw another study that showed that kids actually prefer paper books over electronics. They still do. And you know, last year, 14% of e-books only accounted for 14% of total book sales. I mean, it feels like it would be much higher, and it may get higher, but the thing that remains is that people who love to read still love the actual books. they're still reading books, and I think that's incredible.
So we're not anywhere near close to a post-book era.
I don't think, you know, people keep talking about it. Some people seem to welcome the idea, but, you know, I don't think the change is happening as fast as people thought it was going to, and I don't think it's going to be as extensive as people thought it was going to be.
Do you find it harder to sit down and think and read deeply now that we've got computers everywhere? I mean, I assume that you're like everybody else, like me, that you do spend time online and you're clicking around.
And I get stupid. Yeah, you go into those rabbit holes of from link to link to link.
And an hour later, you emerge and you've done nothing.
Yeah, so you end up, as a writer, you end up having to combat yourself. You know, I've got applications that shut down my internet for specified amounts of time. So I can't go online. And then I often travel without my technology. If I want to go write, I'll just take a notebook and a pen and head off to a coffee shop.
All right, let's get another call in. Tom joins us next in La Crosse. Hey, Tom.
Hi. You know, there's a local bookstore here. You sell used books and all, and I've gone down there numerous times, and we'll trade back and forth. I'll take a bunch of my old books down, and he'll give me a new volume, or he's bought back several of the ones at reduced rates so he can resell them and keep the business going. And I think it, to some extent, it's like a library, but it allows me to keep the book as long as I want. And I think it's the local bookstores and are a good place to find someone who understands your reading habits. And also, I would say I like books because I find computer pages actually, to be diplomatic, boring compared to the page of a book from a design and architectural standpoint. The feel, as they say, of a true book.
Yeah, great comment. Thank you, Tom. What do you think, Sherman?
Oh, I love used bookstores. You know, one of the great things about living in Seattle, there's about 22 bookstores within about a 10-minute drive of me, and, you know, more than half of those are used bookstores. We have a bookstore here that's open 24 hours on the weekends, a used bookstore. You can go in there and, you know, be looking for John Grisham or poetry or you know, obscure science novels and nonfiction, and there's, you know, 8 or 9 cats roaming around the store, too. It's incredible. You know, that's something you're not going to find in a Barnes & Noble. You're not going to find online.
That's for sure.
You know, cat tracks above your head in a bookstore.
There are no cats.
Yeah.
Okay, Sherman, in our last 30 seconds, can you hand sell us a book, that you would recommend to whet our appetites?
The book I'm really into is called Shout Her Lovely Name by Natalie Serber. It's a book of stories about women in the 21st century struggling through marriages. It's funny, it's intense, it's passionate, and it's a really wonderful set of stories.
And what is it called one more time?
Shout Her Lovely Name.
Shout Her Lovely Name. All right, Sherman Alexie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Sherman Alexie, a poet, writer, and filmmaker. His most recent book is called Blasphemy. He's the founder of Indie's First Day, coming up on November 30th on Small Business Saturday.